All right, let me call Irene. I just opened up the book.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is Irene Spencer, Shattered Dreams, Her Life as a Polygamous Wife. I just opened up the book. Oh. It's written in good old man type.
Yeah, the big bold.
I just read a section where she kissed a guy out in the field. Kissed the old man found out.
What did he do? Kill him?
Came in and big scene. So I got to find out if she cheated.
What was she doing making out in the field?
Just kissed. She
could have been a pick.
She loved the guy. No, she loved the guy.
Oh.
Said I just read it.
Man. And the abuse that she must have saw.
I got to find out. It might not have been.
Oh, come on.
He didn't freak out on her for that. I would have thought the same thing. He left. He yelled, mother huckered her.
Yeah.
Walked out so he wouldn't do anything bad.
Hmm.
Calling Irene Spencer.
Good morning.
Irene Spencer.
How are you doing?
I've been so excited to talk to you. I got to tell you, here's what happened, Irene. I heard you on a conservative ladies talk show.
Okay.
I don't know who she was. I'd never heard her before. But I was so taken with your story. It was like I've been doing this radio show for about 22 years, and I never heard anything as compelling as your interview.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, my book is Shattered Dreams, and it's My Life as a Polygamous Wife. I don't know if they had that under that as the subtitle.
Right, I got the book right here.
Oh, you have the book.
I got the book right here, Shattered Dreams, My Life as a Polygamous Wife. And I got to tell you, how much time do you have?
I have all day.
Listen to me. You want to hear the weirdest thing? We were talking about you, and then all of a sudden, we found a website called Marry Our Daughter. You got to see this, but we think it's a hoax. But we got a guy on from the website tomorrow. They have little girl. They have these 14, 15, and 16-year-old girls.
And 13-year-old girls.
And their parents asking for a dowry of $20,000 to, like, $80,000. But I think it's fake.
Oh, it must be fake because there's nothing from anywhere where we come from. The only thing of it is they do marry 13, 14, and 15. I personally know two girls who are married at 13. And I personally know three girls who are married at 14.
Now, you were married when you were 16, right?
Yes, I was married when I was 16.
By the way, the picture, but I hate to say it, but my man Verlin sure was a handsome devil.
Yeah, he really was. Very good. And you know what? He was as good and nice and kind, and he was just caught up in his religion. Everybody that ever knew him, I'll tell you, they never met a better man, but he believed what he was doing, but he was just as deceived as the rest of us, you know?
But I know there's a good picture of you in 1956 with the old man. You're very, very pretty. And so you're telling me, now you got married at 16. I want the listeners to know, you got married at 16. You stayed married for what I think is about 24 years.
28.
Wow.
28 years. You had 14 children. One died?
I have two children that have passed away. My first baby died, and then I have a 35-year-old daughter that passed away 7 years ago.
But, I mean, how many children did you give?
I actually gave birth to 13, and then I adopted my ninth child when she was 12 hours old.
Why did you adopt a child?
Because somebody came along, a woman that was pregnant, and her husband would not allow her to keep the baby, and she was in such poverty. It was in Mexico, and she had to give the baby away. Her husband wouldn't take care of her other four that she already had, and I just had a good heart, decided that I wasn't going to let it suffer, and so I took it home.
Is this while you were in the middle of the polygamy?
Yep, while I was in the middle of polygamy, yeah.
So
she became my ninth child.
Oh, so you had eight kids. Now, what the heck did you live in with a husband, with other wives, and eight kids?
I lived in a two-bedroom adobe house with the second wife and her four children.
This is in Mexico?
Yes, in Mexico. Uh-huh.
But were you with Verlin in Arizona?
No, I was never in Arizona. They have Verlin was going to BYU in Utah, and I met him there. And then he moved to Mexico to their ranch, and I followed. But I had sisters that lived in Colorado City, what it used to be called Short Creek. And I had sisters in Colorado City, and I went out there every weekend to dances and everything. And I knew those people very, very well. But I personally did not live in Colorado City.
Were your sisters in polygamous marriages?
Absolutely. I had four of them that were in polygamous marriages out there.
So, you were a Mormon.
Well, you know, we're different than the Mormons, except we're the true Mormons because the Mormon church gave up polygamy and a few other things, and that's why they call us fundamentalists, because we clung to the very first teachings that they had. The thing that people don't realize is the Mormon Church said that you had to live polygamy in order to become gods, and that was the whole gist of the thing. Our husbands were taking wives so that we could be goddesses, and they could someday become a god and own their own world.
Sort of like the 70 virgins.
Well, yeah, except that these guys, some of them only had 20.
Only 20.
Hey, how did you support yourselves being so this big family?
Well, we lived in dire poverty. My husband, we lived on a ranch down there, and we literally ate wheat for breakfast and beans and had a little rice. Potatoes were a luxury. And I tell in my book, people won't believe it, but things like margarine and peanut butter and mayonnaise and Jell-O and raisins and things that most people take for granted, we never ever saw or had. And we had a cow or two, but we had to sell the cheese. We had to make cheese and sell it for a living. And we lived in dire poverty.
I'm seeing a picture here. It says your inheritance in the promised land of Baja California, Mexico, where you lived with 10 children after you sold your home in the mountains of Chihuahua, Mexico?
Yeah, my husband had finally built me a big home. I found a picture of it in a magazine. Anyway, I started having it built while he was gone, an adobe home. I barely got it done. It wasn't even completely finished. The walls weren't plastered. But anyway, he sold it and moved me to Baja. His brother had proclaimed to be a self-proclaimed prophet, and he said within about 12 years he was going to take us all into the presence of Jesus Christ.
Nice.
And so everybody moved to Baja, to that picture where it is, and yeah. He set up trader houses, and they were having this city for God that was going to be taken up into heaven.
See, the part that's hard for us to understand is, it would seem to me, and you're the one that knows completely the truth here, it would seem to me that these guys were just pedophile sex freaks, yet you say they were doing it to get next to Jesus.
Well, let me tell you about this. Most fundamentalists that I know do not even believe in having sex with your wife unless it's for procreation. And I myself bore 3 children by my husband and had sex 7 times. When you are pregnant, they don't touch you, and you just, you know, it's not like people think that they're out to have a bunch of sex. They actually believe what they're doing, and they're trying to raise up posterity. My husband actually had 58 children, 29 girls and 29 boys.
He had 58 children. How many grandchildren did he have?
Well, he's got over 300, but I myself, wow. I have 120, and wow. I have 41 great-grandchildren, wow. And I have another one due tomorrow.
Great-grandchild.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Well, here's the part that looks fishy to the layman. If they weren't just sex freaks, and by the way, you just said that they didn't touch you when you were pregnant, that wasn't because they weren't horny. That's because you weren't attractive to them.
That's because they have another wife.
Exactly.
Let's not kid ourselves.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. That's what I was going to get to.
But if these are guys that are raised in that lifestyle, then that's the life they know, like how you said you felt that your husband was a good guy. He was just doing what he was sort of brainwashed to do.
Well, you know what? I'm a 5 generations of polygamy, and it's the only thing you know. And like I tell people, I didn't speak up because my mother never spoke up, and neither did my grandmother. And
but did you think there was any reason why you had to speak up? I mean, if that's the life that you were coming out of, did you want to speak up and didn't? Or did you just not think to?
In my heart, I wanted to speak up every day. In my heart, from the day I got married, I wanted to get out of it because I could see that, in theory, polygamy works. But when you're down to reality, I would weep and go to bed, cry all night from jealousy. You're living with another wife. You can never have any intimacy or quiet, you know, talk to each other, communicate. You actually don't get bonded with your husband.
Well, here's the question that I'm always trying to bust somebody. If it was just a religious thing and they're not sex freaks, then why do they have the Lost Boys?
Well, that is a complete another group. It's from Colorado City. And yeah. I know a lot of Lost Boys. And even I've had some of my nephews that have been kicked out of that place. But they do. They get rid of them so that the brethren, the older brethren, can have all these young wives. And some of those guys have 20, 30, 40 wives.
Holy mackerel.
Oh, man.
I mean, in this day and age, How can you be wife number 30? How can you be?
What you have to realize is these girls have no choice. They place their children. I remember once I went to visit my sister, and she said, oh, Irene, I'm placing my girls. They're all marriageable age. You know, they were on 14 on up. And I was just appalled. I said, how can you do that? And she said, oh, the prophet, he gets a revelation who they're to marry. But, you know, I wasn't stupid. I tell my kids, I said, I noticed for years that the prophets took all the beautiful, sexy, gorgeous-looking girls. And I said, the obese and the lame and the retarded were left over for the other boys that, you know.
Yeah, very good. By the way, the picture here of the 26 sisters on the cruise.
Yes,
I don't know. Who are they?
They are my husband's children by 8 different wives.
Wow.
It's unbelievable, you know. And they're all pretty attractive.
Well, you know, everybody says to me, boy, your husband sure had good genes. And I said, well, he took them down a few times too often.
Good night. Good night.
So your husband has passed away.
Yes, he passed away in a tragic automobile accident in 1981.
So go ahead.
What happened to this group of people, that all these women and these kids? Are any of them still in this community, or is the community broken up?
Well, one of the wives the first wife ended up being wife number 11. And all these went back into polygamy, married other men. Some of them are fourth or fifth wives. They believe that their exaltation depends on them living polygamy and trying to be goddesses. And you have to realize that because of the heartache and the pain and all the things you go through, it's an enticement. If somebody tells you all the time, you're going to be a goddess, just imagine, just hang in here. You're going to be a goddess and we're going to own our own world.
So now, do you have children that feel that way?
Well, I have 3 children that are still caught up in it, and I have 10 that are out of it.
Now, what happens when you have get-togethers and the 3 that are still in it hear the propaganda from the ones that are out?
Well, you know, it's really something, because even since I've written my book, I've had all 7 of my sons, including one that's in it, call me up weeping and saying, Mother, I wished I'd have read your book years before, and I will ever be a changed man. The one that is in it right now told me, he said, I could see my father see me doing the same thing, and he was weeping to me and saying, Mother, I will never be the same. And he said, and I will never marry another woman, you know?
It's the part about the Lost Boys makes it even sicker, but I want to reillustrate that all of this is under the guise of religion, correct?
You haven't explained what Lost Boys is, Weez.
Lost Boys is when they get rid of the 15, 16, 17-year-old boys so they don't steal the women from the older guys.
But I think that's Warren Jeff's deal.
Yes, that's in Warren Jeff's deal that they have the Lost Boys. But in a way, even our group, we have Lost Boys, only they're a little different. And that's that at 15 and 16 years old, all these boys go to work in construction, and they give their money to their father so their father can marry younger and more wives.
So they support the old
so
man.
They kind of lose their childhoods, too, trying to, and they feel it their responsibility to help their father.
You would think that modern media would get you out of this by itself. I mean, if these kids are subjected to TV and film and reading.
But they're not.
What do you mean? We don't know. They're not?
Oh, right now in Ruland Jeff's group, you may not have, nobody has TV. They don't even have you listen to radio. Well, if you want to listen to music, you listen to him, the prophet himself, singing. He's made a lot of tapes, and everybody listens to that. They are allowed to listen to him sing. But no, you can have no magazines. Even when I went to Mexico for the first 14 years, I did not have any electricity. I didn't own any kind of books, no magazines, no newspapers. And you are completely isolated and sheltered.
I mean, I'm just thinking of what miserable, rugged life you had to lead with raising these kids in third world conditions.
Well, it was. We lived down there, and I lived on cement floors with no carpet, no throw rugs. I actually lived 5 years without a clock. I didn't own a clock. I could tell when the bus went by twice a day up on the highway what time it was. But I had no clock. We didn't even have toilet paper for 5 years.
What did you
cut up little rags and use in the outhouse?
What did you do when your children got sick?
Well, most people didn't believe in doctors. They didn't believe in doctors, but. I did take my kids to the doctors. I probably didn't take them as many times as I should have. But I had 6 broken arms with my children. And I had pneumonia with a couple of them that was really bad.
So what'd you do with the broken arms?
We took them to the doctor and
in Mexico?
Yeah, I had them set.
Man, what a life.
It's so unbelievable. I didn't realize that they have TV and stuff. I mean, obviously, you can have people do anything you want.
Sure.
You can keep them isolated from everything
else. It's called North Korea.
I was going to tell you earlier when you said this day and age. This day and age is the same day and age of every generation that's been there.
Yes, it is. But when you realize that these people, like with me, they told me, Irene, your grandmother's done it, your great-grandmother, and look at your dear mother, the sacrifices that they've made. And then my father was arrested and put in prison for 2.5 years in Salt Lake City for living polygamy. And so he came out and said, look, all you kids, I spent time in prison so that you kids wouldn't be bastards. Well, it puts guilt on you, and you think, well, of course I'm going to live polygamy. I can't let these people down.
Now, this picture, once again, of the 26 sisters...
Yes.
Are these 26 out of the life or in?
Part of them are in it and part of them are out of it.
Well, you see, now at this point, they're on a cruise. Mm. So they are integrated into the world we live in completely. Yet they'll still live the life of polygamy. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what I'm saying. The Big Love TV show, I heard Irene mention that, you know, that's cute, but that's nothing close to reality.
Well, it isn't close to reality at all, but the thing that you have to realize is that right now in the United States, Canada, and Mexico, they figure there's anywhere from 30 to 80,000 practicing polygamists, and some people estimate more than that.
You're kidding.
So my uncle had the biggest group in Salt Lake City. He passed away, but he had thousands that followed him in Salt Lake City, and people in Salt Lake could be your next-door neighbors, and you wouldn't even know it because they stayed to themselves.
Like Big Love.
It seems like there's a couple different lifestyles going on. There's the commune lifestyle where it's poor and they're isolated and they're not watching television. And then there are the people that are living like somewhat regular lives with just a couple of wives, and they take the bus to school and that sort of thing. Is that true?
Yes, but even in Salt Lake City, there's a lot of these polygamists, or the biggest part of them, have their own schools. And they teach their own children. And even though they live in Salt Lake City and these big cities, they still do not watch television, do not watch radio, and they keep their children isolated. Your kids don't go to socials and go to the dances and things like other children do.
I mean, religion is wonderful if you have a penis.
Yeah. So I told my husband, I said, you know, I'd like to trade places with you.
Yeah, no kidding.
Warren Jeff's sect has kept everybody isolated, and there's a movement now where they're putting up billboards all around where they live trying to encourage the women to get out and get education because they stop educating them at about 14 years old.
Well, let me tell you, this is what is stupid in a way. How can these women that have never had an education, that absolutely have no job skills, that are told that they are going to burn in a burning hell if they leave, and if they do leave, the rules are that you can leave, that you have to walk out with the clothes on your back. And why would a woman...
Without your kids.
Yeah, why would a woman go off and leave 12, 14, 16? You know, I have a girlfriend that got married the same time I did, and she had 21 births. Oh. And I actually know another woman that used to be my next-door neighbor that had 22. She happened to have a set of twins. But when you're straddled with all these children, and your relatives can't help you because all your relatives are in it.
Right.
And the biggest fear is they tell you, if you leave and you go out and try to get on welfare, they will come after me and they will destroy my family. They will take all my children away. They'll be put in foster homes and you are going to be held accountable. How on earth can you walk away?
You can't.
No, nobody.
You're in jail.
I think they're trying to get these young girls who, before they're married, to see these billboards and things. That was the thing that's on CNN, and it just came out now about 50 minutes ago that Warren Jeffs is going on trial, and he's accused of rape. He was on the FBI's most wanted list and spent a year in solitary confinement that he called purgatory in Utah, and they're making jury selection right now for the Warren Jeffs trial.
Yes, and I tell you, they need to put him away and throw away the key. He is the one that has, he's the prophet. He's the one that says who should marry who, and he marries these young girls off to men old enough to be their grandfathers, and I'm sick of it.
But you made it sound like, though, there was really no sexual abuse and no abuse of the women physically.
No, well, I've personally seen women have beatings, and we were told from the time we were little in every group to not betray the brethren. And that not being betraying the brethren means that when you see somebody getting a whipping, you keep your mouth shut. To not betray the brethren means that when you see a man marry a a divorcee or a widow, and 2 weeks later, he marries her 13- and 14-year-old daughters, that you keep your mouth shut. And I could never understand how you can honor your mother when you've got her sleeping with your husband.
So you were never abused?
No, I was never abused.
No, I opened up your book. I just got it today. I opened up your book. I just read a page. And on that page, you had been kissing a guy out in the fields, and your husband caught you. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah. How could I remember such a good time?
So in the book...
I forget it.
Now, you were kissing a dude out in the field, and Verlin found out. And he came in and confronted you, and you admitted it. You remember this?
Yeah, the thing I would do is he was our hired guy. He was a
right.
suave-looking Mexican guy, and I'd fallen in love with him because this guy paid me some attention, hauled my water in and out from the well, hauled my wood in. He thought I was the greatest thing ever going, and he begged me to leave with him. He said, your husband won't miss you. He's got two other wives, you know?
Well, that's when there was only a couple.
And I admitted it to him. I admitted it to my husband. In fact, he brought the hired guy in and asked me in front of him, did you kiss this guy? And I said, yes. And I didn't have the guts to leave my husband, but I was hoping that he would throw me out.
Would you have gone with the Mexican guy?
No, it's funny because I couldn't. I knew I'd have gone to hell for sure. I knew I would. But in my heart, I wanted to run. I wanted to take my kids and flee. And it was a very hard trial. But damn it is, when it's either stay or go to hell, well, certainly you're going to stay.
Now, do you believe in hell now?
Do I believe in hell?
Yeah.
I believe that the hell that we can have is right here. That is why I left, if you want to know the truth. I looked around. I'd been threatened with hell all my life.
No, you weren't threatened to it. Well, you lived in it.
Yeah. One day I looked around, and I said, you know, they can never send me anywhere because I'm already there.
Praise Jesus. You're telling it like it
what
is.
What a story.
I'm telling you, this book.
They're going to make a movie out of you.
The book is called Shattered Dreams, My Life as a Polygamous Wife, Irene Spencer. Very pretty young lady, married at 16. She was wife number two. Stop me when I'm lying, Irene.
Well, the thing of it is, I finally left him when he married number 10. And the thing that made me mad is I had four best girlfriends, and he had already married three of them. And this was going to be the fourth one, you know.
She was a friend of yours before she was a wife?
Yes, she was a friend of mine. We'd been friends for years. And then all of a sudden, she behind my back, they were both sneaking around seeing each other, which they weren't supposed to. They're supposed to get the wife's permission. But he came and told me one day that he was marrying her, whether I liked it or not. And another thing, I never had a driver's license until I was 40 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I barely got one. And I told him, I'm going to give her to you for a going-away present. And I gave her to him. I got in my car, stole my children, and drove out of his life.
Give her a hand. Come
man,
on. Irene.
Irene.
Now, listen, Irene. What kind of community, this girlfriend of yours that became wife number 10, did she have no other men around anywhere?
She had been married three or four times before.
In the community.
She had actually been married to the prophet, and the prophet got murdered, so then she married somebody else, and she left him. And she divorced her first husband after being married 6 months.
Who walked the prophet?
Pardon?
Who killed the prophet?
His own brother. I had a brother-in-law, his name was Irvin LeBaron, that had 28 of our family and friends put to death.
Put to death? Now, this all went down in Mexico?
Yeah, Mexico, and he was in jail in Utah, but I didn't even touch on that. You read my book, and you'll weep and cry, and that's not half of my life. We were on his death list, and that's why I moved into Nicaragua and through Mexico trying to hide, to keep from getting killed by this guy.
Are there still cults like this in Mexico now?
Well, they have a group down there, but it's fizzled out. Everybody's kind of more or less given up religion. There's very few that even live polygamy anymore. Most of them have given up religion per se, and a few of them have become born-again Christians, but most of them have just given up.
Have you ever run into a guy named Bob Lonsberry?
No, I...
Just checking. He's a Mormon guy. He likes the broads. You never know. just checking. I don't know what's going on over here. This is... have you been on Oprah yet?
No, I haven't.
What's taking her so long? This is a phenomenal story.
This is unreal.
A true story of a human being.
Oprah has had episodes about this.
Pardon?
She has had episodes about this. But not your story.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, I'm hoping to get there someday. The thing of it is that I wrote this story like 18 years ago and just gave it to my daughter and put it away for history's sake, and that's why I'm so brutally honest in it and told everything, because I thought, well, later after I'm dead and gone, that my grandchildren will know what kind of a grandmother they had. And she let her pastor and then 20 people in the church read it, and every one of them said, we couldn't put it down. Your mother's got a bestseller here.
Oh, that's even more interesting. Mm. You didn't even write this to be a book.
Well, you know, this amazing thing about it is I only had ninth grade education. I lived a sheltered life. And when I wrote it, I didn't even think that it was good enough. But I asked them, please put a woman with me after they bought it. I said, put a woman with me that knows my feelings. And they said, hey, we smelled every flower, walked down every path. So anyway, I was thrilled that they would keep me in it, you know, keep my voice.
The guy that writes the Chicken Soup books says, Shattered Dreams is a masterpiece. What courage to carve out a life in a polygamous cult for 28 years. Spencer's personal portrait of a long-suffering wife is a true heart-wrenching story, but one that's long overdue, exposing the bleak, spirit-crushing world of plural marriage, a must-read. Listen, good luck, Sister Irene. You're a phenomenal woman, and I think your story is amazing.
Well, I really appreciate you guys having me. It's been great talking to you.
Is the book in the Barnes & Nobles?
It's everywhere. It's everywhere that we know. People are having a hard time getting a hold of it because they've already gone into the fourth printing of it. It's sold so fast. But on my website, IreneSpencerBooks.com.
IreneSpencerBooks.com.
Books with an S, books.com. Yep. You can go there, and there's about 8 different places where you can buy the book. It'll tell you who's carrying it.
Shattered Dreams, I have it right here in my hand. It looks like it's got the nice, good print for us old cats. There's some pictures of the family all over the joint. And Irene, thanks a million for your time.
Okay, thank you so very much.
Take care. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
It's unbelievable, and the pictures are cool. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I heard
she's
going to
be one tough broad.
Oh, yeah. Just having 13 kids, she came out.
But in poverty in Mexico. Dirt floors and no electricity.
I mean, forget the polygamous part. Take that out.
Right.
13 kids on a cement floor.
Yeah.
Enough, you're a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Then you add in the old man's banging 9 other broads.
No TV.
She finally got pissed off at number 10. No cable. No Larry David.
At night, you know what they did? Went out and stared at the tree.
No kidding. They had the outhouse. You heard the broad. No toilet paper.
I know.
No toilet paper. You can't even get Larry Craig underneath looking for a square.
They had to wipe their ass with cactus.
You heard it. Didn't even know who won the Super Bowl.